We're wanting to continue the thought on wisdom this morning, and we desire your prayers that the Lord will bless his word. We're going to have just a few of the verses that we had last Sunday to tie it in with what we have on our heart this morning. The first scripture being Proverbs 4 and 7. Portion of that scripture says, wisdom is the principal thing. Do we really recognize how important wisdom is to our life every day, every minute of the day in reality? We also read in Proverbs the first chapter. Not going to read those verses again this morning. Encourage you to use those verses in your own personal devotions. But we are to receive instructions to have understanding, that we may be wise and use wisdom in all judgments and in with right discernment. I read a statement that I read out of Adam Clark about knowledge and understanding. It directs the steps of a wise man what to do and what not to do. But it is wisdom that directs a wise man how to do it fitly. That's why we need wisdom. And then I read a scripture out of Ecclesiastes 2 and 14. The wise man's eyes are in his head. Our eyes are to be observant, our literal eyes, our spiritual eyes. We're to observe not only those things that come in our life and our choices and result of our choices, but we're also to observe others' lives and the choices that they make and the result of those choices. And then, of course, a wise man's eyes are in his head. It also has to do with our mind. God has given you and me a mind that we can make those choices. We can have right discernment and right judgment. So that's just a little review of last Sunday's message on wisdom. This morning, our burden is on soul winning. And, or, you know, we could say it's just simply winning souls, and that's a very familiar scripture or some familiar thought to us. It's not unique only to the Church of God. You will find the churches out there. Other denominations also have thoughts and plans and purposes for winning souls, at least in their direction. And I'm not saying that's not right or that they don't have it just right. I believe that there could be those that have a true soul burden. But it is a calling to all of us this morning that we have and carry a burden for the lost. If we are saved this morning, if we know that we are accepted of Him, we must immediately feel that burden for others who are not accepted. Amen. And so I'm thinking how that when Jesus was here and how that he carried that burden. His life's work was one that was simply for mankind to be saved. That was his sole purpose. But he's gone back to heaven. And now he needs you and me to be what he cannot be here physically. We're the workers now. He wants your feet to be as his feet, your hands as his hands, and your eyes to be as his eyes. In other words, don't stick your head in the sand and just ignore those that are around about us that are needing salvation. As we go to the grocery store, as we mingle among society itself, we are a part of this society. We're not living on an island. We don't go to our homes today and remain there until it's time to come to church again. We are going out into the world, and we are mixing with this society. And as we do, we need to look about us. We need to consider those that we stand in line with at Walmart. We need to maybe even wonder, I wonder if they know Jesus. Well, I believe the Lord has a plan. He has wisdom for you and me to be able to be one that can reach out to others that are not ready to meet him. I'd like to talk to you this morning about this day, this age. Before we go into their central thought, I feel like that we need to recognize the day and time that we're living in. Just as it is not wise for you and me to compare ourselves among ourselves, I believe it is also not wise for us to take our day, this age, and compare it to another age. I believe that if we do not get an understanding, if we do not have knowledge and have an understanding of the age and the time that we're living in, we will not be able to have the wisdom to know how to live and how to operate and how to be one that can reach out to other souls. So, last week I spoke about, just part of the little message, about gleaning from a message, about gleaning something for yourself, about finding your portion. But that word was used in the message. But I want us to take that word now and consider it in relationship to the time that we live in. I want to give you a definition for that word. It's to collect by patient effort. Now, that's what you were supposed to be doing last week as the message went forth, as it had some variety in it. Maybe you didn't need part of it, but somebody else did. You were gleaning. You were collecting just a portion of it just for you. That's what God intends messages to do for us all. But the second meaning is to gather. I like this definition for the thought this morning. To gather the leavings from a field after the crop has been reaped. Well, we know there are places in the scripture that speaks about gleaning. You can read the book of Ruth, and you'll find that she also gleaned in a field after it was reaped. And she had sufficient in order for them to live on. So there's always something that is left that we would be able to glean in whatever age that we are. But this particular age, I'm going to give you a scripture. I want you to turn with me to the 17th chapter of Isaiah, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 9. And it says, in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean. What does that mean? What does it say when it says in that day? Well, when it's referring to that day, it's referring to the gospel day. You and I are in the gospel day. But we also know that you and I are in the last days. We know that the Lord could come any day. The stage is set. All things are made ready, you might say. So let's go on reading. Verse 5, and it shall be as when the harvest man gathered the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm, and it shall be as he that gathered ears in the valley of Rephaim. Now this word has a definition. It indicates that it was an ancient race of people that was reduced to a remnant. And so we understand what it means to have a harvest, a fresh harvest. If you had a garden, or if you've had a garden, which we used to have rather large gardens, you would have a first picking, say of corn. The second picking, and possibly the third picking, the two middle pickings were your largest. Your first picking was the fruit that was just turning ripe. And you picked that. And it goes in stages. And then you have a second and a third picking that were the largest. And then you would have a final picking that was like the gleaning. And so this is indicating that this was like a major picking. I could carry it all in my arms. It was plenty for me to gather. But when it came down to it, it was like just a little remnant. Just a little portion was left. Verse 6 says, yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it, as the shaking of the olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the outmost fruitful branches thereof, saith the Lord God of Israel. Verse 9. At that day shall a man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. I'm going to say this morning, you and I in this age must keep our eyes on the Lord. Because the next verse tells us what we could do. It says, he shall not look to the altars. Don't we have an altar? Don't we even comment when we go to Monarch and maybe there's a few that will come to the altar, and then after a while maybe there is what we call a breakthrough. We're familiar with those terms. We know what that means. But this says we're not to observe the altar. We're not to say, well, if it does work or if it doesn't work. What if we judged everything according to how many comes to this altar? How long has it been since someone has bowed at this altar? Would we be discouraged if we counted that up? Yes. And so he's saying, this is how it's going to be. You're going to have your first picking. You're going to have that second and third picking. But you're going to come down to where it's a gleaning of a field. It's like that. It's going to be like two or three up here in this upper branch, and four or five way out here in this other bough. I say we're in that time. That's why we don't have our chapel full. That's why we don't see more at the altar, even during our revival meetings. We thank the Lord for everyone that we have. But if you compare this age to the age where it was the second and the third picking, you're going to be discouraged. you'll begin to even complain. And you might even begin to look to another church that has many, many cars in their parking lot today. And you may begin to question, how do we know this is the way? If you and I don't get a vision and an understanding of the age we're living in, we heard this morning about being satisfied. To be satisfied is to know you have the truth, that you're in the right way, to be contented. And yet, as Brother Dan said, I'm still yearning for what's waiting for me over there. But we don't want to go alone. We don't want it to be just me and mine and nobody else. So God does have some words of wisdom for you and me this morning. We don't want to be so satisfied that we're disregarding the need for those that are out there, even in our families. How many raised their hands today for a request for their unsaved loved ones? We all have those loved ones that we don't want to see lost. We want them to be ready. That's right. Now, there are certain things that we do for our unsaved loved ones every day. When we may not say a word to them about their soul every day. We're going to talk about that. But we should be praying every day, lifting that individual, all of those individuals, before the Lord, commanding His hands to work. He wants to work, but He wants us to also carry that burden. He wants us to be a mouth when He says to speak. He wants us to reach out with our hand when He says reach out. He wants to go with our feet when He says to go. And that's how we will fulfill the work in the earth. So, going to repeat this part that knowledge and understanding. It's wise to have this knowledge and this understanding and this vision about this age and yet not compare it to the second and the third picking, which is large. I mean, I'm not going to take the time this morning to go back in history and recount, but if you study history, that's how it was. And you and I are in the last days. So, I'd like to say that this knowledge, or even this reading, is not an excuse. Just because the word of the Lord is allowing you and me to have an understanding of the last days and that it is a gleaning time, that's not an excuse to not work. We must still work while it is day, lest the night come upon us, the scripture says. We must be about our Father's business. We have songs in our book that sometimes I have sort of wondered if they are not for our day. And yet the scripture also coordinates with some of those songs that says for us to look upon the fields that they are white. I don't see a big white field today. But I see that I can go out and glean in it. The pickings, the harvest, the main harvest has passed. But there's still some souls there. There's still something that I can glean. There's still some reaping out in those fields. So don't be discouraged. If you don't see the big white field, oh, don't you know that when a cotton field is ready to be picked, it's beautiful? It's beautiful. And they can pick it fast. You know, one time, my brother and I, we were young. My uncle had a cotton field. And we had heard about picking cotton. My parents worked in the cotton fields too. His grandparents did too. And, you know, we just thought that was the thing to do. So we were given a bag. And I'll tell you what, after the first row, we were ready to quit. But it was a white field. You see? Those that were experienced to hard work could go through there and pick it fast. I want to tell you, there was a time it was that way with souls. There was a time. I've told you that there was a time, even at the Guthrie meeting, me growing up, that somebody would come in during altar call, had not even heard the message. I've never forgotten this. The very anointing of the altar call would convict souls, and they would go to the altar. You don't find that now. But we're not going to compare ourselves now to that age. We're in a time that we're going to... Did you know it's much harder to glean than it is to just have a harvest picking? Much harder. If you were getting those little berries that were up in the top of the tree, what did you have to do it? Climb. You had to put forth effort. You had to give some energy. And you had to desire it. You don't just stand here and look up there and say, well, maybe the birds will get it. We don't want that. These are souls. And you have to put forth effort. In these days, we're going to have to put forth effort. We need a real strong burden for this age. And we need a lot of wisdom. Because what worked in my day isn't necessarily going to work in this day. You've heard me tell. In my day, some of the older ones that are here know this is true. During altar calls at Monarch or Guthrie meeting, people went and talked to people about their souls. It was effective. But it began to change. People began to resent that and resisted that until you don't hardly see it anymore. That won't work today, possibly, unless it's the Spirit of the Lord just simply giving the burden and giving the words and sending. You've heard me tell when I got saved and I was standing at the back and I was weeping. I was under conviction, but I wouldn't yield. Brother Stover, he had been our pastor when we married and a very precious brother to us. And he came and talked to me and convinced me to go to the altar. I'm going to say the methods of then we can't compare to today. We need the wisdom for today, for our age today. Not what they did back then. That worked. But we need great wisdom to know how to work today. Proverbs 11 and 30, familiar scripture. It says, he that winneth souls is what? Wise. Doesn't matter what age. Remember, we're not comparing to another age. Whatever worked in that time, it was wise. We need to discover what is wise for today. For winning souls, for the kingdom, for eternity. I have been thinking and even asking the Lord. We read a little story to the children this morning, and the title of it was, I'm Not Afraid of the Devil. And so this is an old story. This young man, this young boy, he said he wasn't afraid of the devil and that he didn't even know if there was a hell. Well, it caused the other boys in his group to wonder too. Maybe there isn't a hell. And then he had to go searching for the cows, and it was dark, and he went into a cemetery. Well, he fell into a grave. And he thought he was going to hell right then. And he became a believer. And how he got out of there, he said he didn't know how. He was scrambling to get out of that grave. But do you know, it changed his life. Now, things like that might not change people today, but it did him. He believed there was a devil then. He felt like the devil was chasing him right there. Well, you know, a lot of people say, well, he was just scared. It worked for his day. It probably will not work for this day. You and I need to know how to handle the Word of God effectively. We need to know how to speak our words effectively, because we need to be wise for this day. So he that winneth souls, remember, said wisdom is the principal thing. In everything that I do and say, it, knowledge and understanding, I'm going to repeat it, it will direct the steps of a wise man of what needs to be done. See, I'm going to stop right there before I go to the wisdom. You and I can look around and we can see there's people that are going to be lost. And the scripture tells us that few are going to be saved. That the vast majority of the people you and I see every day, not every day, but people out there, the vast majority of them are going to be lost. That's the word of the Lord. Many are called, few are chosen. There's many people going down the broad way to destruction. There's few that are finding the narrow way. They're not willing. Yet God has a few honest people out there with an honest heart. We got to find them. He's got to lead us to them. They are there. And so, knowledge and understanding will direct our steps to what needs to be done. But it is wisdom that directs us how to do it in a right way. Did you know you can do it in a wrong way? And you can turn people away? You and I can turn people away. So what is first and foremost? First and foremost is that you and I be filled with the Holy Ghost. I cannot say it enough. I wonder if we will make it, even according to the scriptures, if we'll make it without it. I do believe in salvation, and I believe it saves from sin, and I do believe that God will take people to heaven that are just saved. But for you and me that are living life and it's going on for years, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be sanctified holy. I hope you never forget those words. I hope that you will seek for it until you know you are filled with the Holy Ghost, because without it, you cannot win souls. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Oh, you can point somebody, but you've got to have that Holy Spirit. I hope you understand it better before we finish the message this morning. The next scripture is John 7 and 38 and 39, and it simply verifies what I've just said. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And it doesn't stop there. The very next verse, Jesus said this. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. This belly of flowing of living waters, it's the Holy Spirit. And that's what you and I have got to have, that to have that life that is flowing out to others. Can you, how shall I say this? Well, I think it's just hard to try to be a witness and not have the substance. Do you know what happens when we're a witness without the substance? The scripture calls it, maybe not, I don't think I'm taking this out of context. It's nothing but sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It's hollow. It's ineffective. You can't be a witness. You can't hardly reach out and encourage someone to go this way if you're not going that way. Lord, help us. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is the principal thing. Don't forget it. Wisdom is the life of the Spirit. It's foremost. Thank the Lord. What does the scripture say? It speaks about the laborer. Must first be a partaker of the fruit. What does that mean? That means it must be working in our life before we can possibly reach out to someone else. I heard somebody recently make this statement. It just came to my mind. He said, we met this guy, and he has been an atheist. We talked to him for 2 hours. And they were talking to another preacher. That's what they were doing. And they said, we want to bring him to you. There was something that they could not give. And they thought that if they brought him to the preacher could give it. I want to tell you, God wants us, everyone, to be able to witness and live the life in us and be able to reach out. It doesn't have to be a preacher. You can have that life, that river of water, river of life coming out of your belly. And it can reach to souls, and it can be effective. Thank the Lord. So the standard of effective soul winning. What is the standard of effective soul winning? It's found in Psalms 127 and 1. And it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. What does that mean to you? That means I can go out and try to do something in my own strength. I can make it up in my mind. Oh, you know what we need to do? We need to go out and we need to start preaching on the corners. And I'm building the house. And the Lord hasn't said, I want you to go preach on the corners. I'm laboring in vain. If I'm making up in my mind what I need to do to win souls. Scripture, I mean, this is nearly a whole nother message. But there's a lot of things that are said in the Word about man's wisdom. It's not God's wisdom. God's wisdom is what we want to have and follow. So that's the standard of soul winning, is being sent. There's another scripture that comes to my mind, and I can't tell you where it is, but I know what it says. And it speaks about a man that ran without a message. And when he got to where he was empty. He didn't have anything to say. He just wanted to run. But there was a man that was sent to run with the message. If you and I go to the foreign fields, Let's make sure we're a runner with a message. Yes. Let us not just want to do it. That's a runner without a message. Yeah. We've got to be sent of the Lord, or it's in vain. That's the standard of effective soul winning. So, let's turn to Proverbs now, 15 and 23. We're going to talk a little bit now of some little personal conduct, if you will, that you and I must seek after in order to be effective in soul winning. Proverbs 15:23, it says, "A word spoken in due season, how good it is." Well, that's the standard of how we believe, how we conduct our services. We believe that we are led of the Holy Spirit. We believe our services should be led of the Holy Spirit. We even believe that our songs should be led of the Holy Spirit. Our prayers anointed of the Holy Spirit. The messages should be given of God by the Holy Spirit. So it's every word that is spoken in due season. How good it is. The next scripture is in Isaiah 50 and 4 and 5. And it says, "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." In order for me to be able to know how to speak a word in season, I'm going to have a listening ear to the Holy Spirit. Yes. And it is a still, small voice.
Yes, it is.
And there are times it is a thought that comes to our mind. And there is a time that we run with that thought. I'm just going to be honest. We can pray about that thought. We can seek the Lord for the wisdom for that thought, that it be a message. And sometimes we may not know it was a message until it's over. And we see how the working of the Spirit worked with that thought. It's very easy to miss that still small voice. And you and I need to shake ourselves sometimes and awaken ourselves. Don't forget about the five wise and the five foolish. They all slumbered and slept. And they all came down and half of them missed it. Matthew 5 and 16. Familiar scripture says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Well, I want to tell you something. Our light, our example, can be our words. He says in one place, he says, "I want you to be like my ambassador." And sometimes we're not even speaking words. Our life is speaking the words. Our example, if we're demonstrating the Spirit of God in us, a spirit of holiness, I want to tell you, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It's the same out there. Without holiness in your life, no man is going to see the Lord in your life. He says, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me." Who lifts him up? You and me. It's by our life. And sometimes it is not even with any words. there can be words. I don't want to discount words, because I believe that there are times that it is words, but it is also by your light, by that light that is in you. And then somebody comes up and says, what church do you go to? Brother Marty says that they get asked that question often, be at the store, and they haven't said a word. What church do you go to? What do you think they're looking at? Well, we know that the scripture says that the Lord looks on the heart, and we're glad that he does, that he's a judge of hearts. I'm glad that he is, that he knows everyone that belongs to him. But I'm telling you, if you and I have it in our heart, we're going to look like it on the outside. Yes, it's going to come out. I'm going to say it's going to bust out. It's going to be demonstrated. Living a holy life is not hard. It's not hard. If you love it, it's easy. So it's that life that is in you that's going to speak louder than words. Have you ever heard that statement before? That your actions speak louder than the words? That's what the Lord is calling for us to speak, our life speak louder than our words. The next scripture is Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Desire you to pray and bear with us a little bit. This has really been a burden on our heart lately. And the 5th chapter, and we're going to look at 13 and 17 through 17. It says, but all things that are reproved are made manifested by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Thank the Lord. I love that. Seeing then that ye walk circumspect, this word circumspect is to walk in your life where you're observing all things around about you. You're not just blindsided. You are walking circumspect. And it says, not as fools, but as what? Wise. We are to walk wisely, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And then verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Okay, let's connect that one then with Colossians, the 4th chapter, verses 5 and 6. And again it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Now we're down to it. How we're going to reach out to the lost is to walk in wisdom toward the people that are lost. And then again it says, redeeming the time. And it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. We need great wisdom. Be careful. Be careful in our conversations. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to go around preaching to people all the time to be a witness. But we can have conversations with people. You can have conversations with people on your job. Normal, I'm going to call it normal conversations. Everyday conversations. And still be a witness. You know how? Guard your tongue. Don't fall into any kind of jesting. Don't fall into any of the unclean jokes. You're not hiding your light under a bushel. you're letting your light shine. There will be people that will say a curse word in front of you and then say, oh, I'm sorry. Why? Because they haven't heard you say it. I had someone just yesterday, and so help me, I've never said a word about the word bet. But they used that, they started to use it, and they stopped in the middle of the word and changed it. You know what? That told me something. I had never said that to this individual, ever. But they had observed that I did not use the word bet in my conversation. That's all I can say. That's how the Lord is wanting your conversation in the world to be free of slang words. I want to tell you that God, don't you know the scripture says we're going to give an account of every idle word? Clean up your language. Be aware of what you're saying. Because God's listening and He's taking note. This isn't fanatic. This is how we were taught. How my generation was taught. Yes. We were taught you don't use bet. You don't use, I'm not going to say all the words. It's not beneficial. But I believe the Holy Spirit can be in your life and give you a check and say, don't say those in your conversation. That's an idle word. Be an example of holiness, holy conversation. That doesn't mean you're preaching at somebody. You're demonstrating pure conversation. Oh, I want to tell you, God's wanting this to be a part, just a normal part of our life. That it's a habit. So you walk circumspect and you walk in wisdom toward those people that are not saved, and you're redeeming the time, and your speech is always with grace and it's seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. So in your normal conversations, here's one thing that the Lord impressed me with. Don't get ahead of the Spirit. Don't think, oh, I've got to tell this person how to be saved right now. If the Holy Spirit isn't telling you to do it, don't do it. Let the Holy Spirit give the anointing of your words, and then it'll be effective. It'll touch the heart. It'll go with them. I read a little story, actually in one of the little books in here, and two little boys were out, two young boys out giving out tracts years ago. And this man, and all they were doing was handing out tracts door to door. And this man, he just slammed the door in their face and said no, and they just went on down the street doing their business. About 10, 15 years later, that man's in trouble. Physically, he's sick. And he calls for a preacher to come and pray for him. And you know, he said, 15 years ago, or ever how many years ago it was, two little boys came and to give me a track, and I slammed the door in their face. And he said, I've never been happy since, and now I'm facing eternity. See, that was the working of the Holy Spirit. We might look at it and say, oh, that was failure. No, we don't know how many years down the road it's going to work. This is wisdom in soul winning, or winning souls for God, for the kingdom. So, if you and I get ahead of the Lord, and we begin to, I'm going to say preach. I don't care if you're not a preacher. You sometimes can preach at people. If you get ahead of the Lord, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what will happen. It will be a stumbling block to that soul. It will create an offense. It will turn the people from the truth rather than to the truth. And it will increase their prejudices against religion, the church, and the gospel. You want to increase their prejudice? Then get out of the order of the Lord, and it'll do it. Chances are some will turn away and never be saved. I want to tell you there's a scripture that speaks about the Pharisees. Jesus called them hypocrites. And it says that they would have converts. They would go around the sea or something like that. I can't quote it exactly. Sea and land for a convert. Encompass it. And you know what the scripture says? It would make that convert twofold more the child of hell. Because they didn't do it right. I'm not saying these things to put us down. I'm saying seek for the wisdom from above. Seek for the Holy Spirit to be your guide. Seek for the Holy Spirit to be the anointing of your words to people that are lost. Lord, help us. The scripture says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with the salt. Well, we know the salt is of the Holy Spirit. Let your conversation be a complement of your testimony. Complement your testimony. That even without the word, isn't that scripture also? That the unsaved companion could be one even without the word. But the example, conversation with those that are not saved. Live the life of godliness. Let your actions, again, speak louder than your words. So we need great wisdom to give an answer of your hope. And you know what the scripture does say? And I'm not saying you've got to put yourself in a box on this, but it does say have an answer when they ask. And if they should ask, be ready to give an answer. And I'm not saying that doesn't say you can't go up and say to somebody, do you know the Lord? And there's nothing wrong with you saying, do you know the Lord? Even for a beginning of a conversation. But let it be by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 7, we're almost finished, in 6. It says, give not that which is holy unto what? Dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet. What does that mean? That means that you and I, when we get ahead of the Lord, if he isn't already dealing with that soul, it's like casting your pearls before swine. It's like giving holy things unto dogs. Oh, do you see the importance of having and being led by the Holy Spirit in all that we do and say? We need the Holy Spirit. So that's a very serious scripture. Don't cast your pearls before swine. They'll just trample it under their feet. They'll be worse off. They'll be twofold more the child of hell. And then the next scripture, Romans 16 and 19, it says, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. We used that one last Sunday. The last scripture, Psalms 107 and 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand. Take the message with you today. I know that the Lord is calling for us to be witnesses in this world. I know that we have a job to do. We mustn't live to ourselves, and we certainly cannot die to ourselves, because then we'll be lost. Don't live to yourself. You still want a soul burden. You still want the Lord to guide you to the ones that are honest in their hearts. He still wants you and me to be his mouth. He can fill our mouth with his words if we will seek for it. Pray for me. I am not preaching at you all. This message is for me too. Amen.